Guard me over, thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land, guard me over, great Jehovah. My great friend and Reverend Jackson, my feeling to you is mutual. You have been a commandant of mine for a long time, and I only pray that God will keep you strong and healthy, and that I will be able to reach your landmark. Amen. Let's give Reverend Jackson a hand. He's one of you all. He's a puller here at D. Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, and we think much of him as an author, as a child of the King. And Deacon Scott, I want to thank you again for extending the invitation on the behalf of the membership of Tabernacle, and thank all of you for walking me again. I didn't stand because when the welcome was extended, because he said first-time visitors. And I didn't want to suffocate that, and I said, well, thank you for inviting the wife and I again. She have already introduced herself, and we thank God for her. I'm a better man because of her. Yeah, I often wonder, what would I be, or what would I be doing if I had not united in holy matrimony with the love of my life? I am here to preach to God's people, God's words, and I want you to join with me in this experience as we experience God in his word. This is how we glean. This is how we learn. This is how we open our hearts, because of the word of God have spoken. Thank you, choir. You're par excellent. I need to sneak down here more often and sit in the balcony and let you know I'm not here and listen to you with my good friend, Brother Hill up there. I heard you back there. Up there, I heard you. Brother Fraser, he, with that deep voice, he could go tenor or bass, I guess. Yeah, amen. Tabernacle, you are rich in so many ways. And they need to see and hear your richness, your longevity in this community, reached far back before I even got to Dayton. When we first got here, we used to hear about Tabernacle. And your beloved Pastor Thompson was here then during that time. I had occasion to meet him several times, and I always thought very much of him, very intellectual man, and steadfast, and his lovely wife as well. And so you have a rich heritage. Don't let it die. Keep it alive, and God will bless you with a shepherd through your prayers and steadfastness. Don't be afraid to listen to his voice. He might speak, and you may say, well, no, that's not him. But be careful when you say no to God. Be very careful when you don't listen to him, because you can get who you want, but it not necessarily be what you want from his perspective. And so let God lead the leadership as the leadership leads the flock. And I'm sure you will come out ahead. Well, this morning I want to tackle the text that is before us, found in the Gospel according to Matthew. It's a familiar text. You have heard it perhaps many times. And it challenged us to, in today's setting, because of where we are and the time frame we're in. Matthew chapter 26. The content of this sermon is actually taken from Matthew 26, 17 through 25. But I want to take the reading from 20 through 25. And we'll focus on verse 22. We'll get there. The reading of Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 through 25. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Surely, or verily, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." I want to use as a title right from the text. You can be seated. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? It is a sad thing to be betrayed by a friend or someone you have loved and placed trust in and have fellowship with. But the story of Jesus' betrayal by Judas Iscariot is found in all four of the Gospels. Mark chapter 14, verses 17 through 21, emphasis on verse 19, and of course Luke 22, chapter 22, verses 21 through 23, and last, John chapter 13, 18 through 30, which is the most extensive recording of the betrayal of Jesus by his disciple Judas Iscariot. It's an important recording simply because it is recorded in all four of the Gospels. That means that there is a significant information here, enough for us to glean on what is taking place prior to Jesus' arrest. What can we as Christians learn from Jesus' betrayal in our highly competitive, complex, challenging, and corrupt society plagued with the pestilence of our time, COVID-19, and all other sins that so easily beset us? What can we learn from Jesus' encounter with this drama of betrayal before his crucifixion? One of the crucial factors of Jesus' betrayal is his spiritual demeanor. I want you to notice how Jesus handled himself in this crucial time as he implemented for the last time and observed the most important feast of the Israelites' life out of Egypt. And that is the Passover. Very significant feast among the Jews. His divine disposition regarding his betrayer is, notice now, his wisdom for generations to take heed of and acquire. How Jesus handled these news that he broke unto his disciples. And you got to remember, it's not new to him. The fact about it, if he studied scripture close enough, he was looking forward to it. He somewhat almost, you get a glimpse that he was welcoming this time. And if you read the scripture closely, you'll see that he was troubled by the fact that he announced the fact that one of them will betray him. While his disciples were so distressed, Jesus was calm, composed, and very much aware of his journey to Calvary. Yes, I know the scripture said that he was troubled in spirit, but I want you to understand that his demeanor was still under control of his Father's will. For he said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of him who sent me. He has spiritual gravitas about him, and he knew his mission without compromising or having any type of concession about his journey. Nevertheless, he knew what was before him and was troubled in spirit concerning his disciples. He was not concerned about himself. He was concerned about those. He said to them, one of you will, a future tense, will betray me. The fact about it is, Judas had already was in motion, had already made the plan. And Jesus called him out like he does. All of us. Jesus stayed focused on his mission. But the gospel according to John 13:21 said, he was troubled in spirit. Whenever he is troubled in spirit, you can rest assured that it's something that will be taking place that disturbs the relationship between him and his disciples. Are you a disciple? I pray that you are. Jesus identified and exposed to his betrayer, but it went over their heads, their spirit, their minds, and hearts were preoccupied by earthly thoughts. It sounds like us in the 21st century. We're so occupied by TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and all the other social media. Watch people as you go about your day, especially the generation of our time. And nothing bad about them, it's just that they're preoccupied. Just about every one of them got their head. And they can do that fast as they can talk. It's amazing how technology grabs our young people and educate them to the point where they difficult to even write a sentence. They need short term. I call it shorthand English. Then use the letter for F-O-R. New for you, U-O-U. And all kind of other acronym that they use. Well, that's the way they communicate. I guess we did the same thing during my time. Then Jesus made a very pointed observation with a divine consequences. Matthew 26, 24, he said, it would have been better for that man if he had not been born. You let that sink in a little bit. Jesus' foreknowledge saw Judas from the beginning to the end. He saw him. And that gives me insight. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew every one of us from the beginning to the end. Where will you end up at? Do you know your end? He teaches us that we should number our days. He teaches us where we came from. He teaches us where we're going. If we put our hands in his hand, we live with him forever. And he's so insightful that he gives us insight of where we're going if we're not in his hand. He said it would have been better if Judas Iscariot would have not been born. Where would he would have been if he had not been born? He'd be still in the mind of God without eternal damnation. For you see, my beloved brothers and sisters, Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot was a devil from the beginning. He was a devil from the beginning. How would you like for someone to label you like that? But scripture had to be fulfilled. The Son of Man, listen to him now, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. He prophesies in the old, but he fulfills it in the new. He spoke of his betrayer in the old, but it is fulfilled in the new. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. A judgment statement of condemnation. Of damnation. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. This verse reveals the omniscience of Jesus. He knows the past, the present, and the future all at the same moment of time. Therefore, he is completely in knowledge, which include foreknowledge. In his knowledge lies all the foreknowledge. And his foreknowledge brings out all of his knowledge. The biblical perspective here of foreknowledge is an integral part of his omniscient attribute, knowing that the future holds both individuals and nations in his foreknowledge, as well as his knowledge. You do know that God knows what's going on today. I hope you know that he, not only that he knows, he funu. All what we are encountering before it happened. All the mass shooting, the plague, the pandemic, the world wars, civil war, slavery, you name it, he knew about it before it occurred. And I know what you're saying. Some will say, well, if he knew it, why did he let it happen? Because he let it happen so you could come. Yeah, come on,
If he had not let it happen, you and I would not have been here. Because we are in the plan of his foreknowledge. If he changed one iota of his word, the world would pass away. If he changed one iota of his word, heaven and earth would pass away. As someone said, the scripture said, yeah, grass might fade and flower might wither, but God's word will last forever. And that says something, brothers and sisters. If the word is in you and you're in the word, you're going to last forever. I am the resurrection and life. Though he was dead, but yet he shall live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This verse is rough for us. His divine knowledge, his divine foreknowledge is simply God's knowledge in the eternal purpose. In the scripture, we learn that Jesus predict, that is, he foretells of his birth, life, his betrayal, suffering, crucifixion, and his resurrection. All is here for us to see. In other words, we have the full script. We don't have bits and pieces. For you see, the prophets didn't see the church. They saw the coming of the Lord restoring the kingdom of David. And they missed the church. The church was in the valley of grace. They was more interested in the kingdom of David. This is why they had a rough time identifying Jesus, because in the Old text, it identified him clearly, but they were more interested in establishing the throne of David. He said, I am the son of David. I will restore it. But I got some that is far off that need to be drawn to me. And we call it the mystery of Jesus, where he blends the Jews and the Gentile, and they become one. Isn't we have a marvelous Savior? We're no longer cast off under the law. And if we were, we were not able to keep it. And so he brings his son Jesus and said, look, follow him, and you will have fulfilled the law. Why? Because he said, I am the law. You don't no longer have to kill anything because I'm going to die for you. And if I die for you, you don't need a substitute anymore. I am the real Makor. The Old Testament was a type of Christ. It was temporary. But Jesus is the real deal. He came that I might redeem man back to my Father. Let me let you look at the foreknowledge of Jesus in Psalm 41:9, when he says, when he prophesied, he gave this insight. He says, even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who eats my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And Matthew and other parts, and other gospel, the synoptic gospel as well as John, this verse, this prophecy of the one who will betray Jesus is fulfilled. Luke says it this way, Luke 20:21 said, but behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. John 13:21 said, when Jesus had said this, he was troubled in spirit, testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. I'm sad to report today that some of us are still betraying Jesus. And we need to lean towards him and say, Lord, is it I? I want you to understand that his disciples was very sorrowful, in a state of distress. They was puzzled about the fact that Jesus would say something like this at the time that he said it. At the meal prior to the Lord's Supper feast, they always eat a meal before the Lord's Supper. And while they was at the table preparing for going into the Lord's Supper, Jesus ate with them and he dipped. And you might say he sopped. And Judas and all the others was around the table. John's gospel gives us an insight here. When you look at chapter 13, starting at verse 18, you read down through 30, John records something that the other synoptic gospel does not record. He records a somewhat an inner circle conversation among Peter and John. John was sitting close to Jesus, and Jesus was inclining in his chair, like you and I were inclined in our easy chair. He was resting, he was relaxing, and John leaned over to him, his head almost in his breast, when Jesus said, "One of you all will betray me." And John said, "Lord, is it I?" And Peter did something unique. He beckoned to John. He said, "Ask Jesus who it is." It's right there in the text. I don't have to pull one on you. And verse 23 of John chapter 13 said, "Then the disciples looked at one another, complexed about whom he spoke." And now there was leaning on Jesus bosom one of his disciples whom he loved, and that is known as John the disciple. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask, "Who is it of whom he spoke?" And then leaned back on Jesus, John did, on his breath, and said, "Lord, who is it?" Wouldn't you like to know who among you, whether you're at Tabernacle or Mount Moriah, will betray our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? What would you do with the individual that you find out who he is? Or in this case, who she is? Do you not know we got some betrayers in every church family? People who will betray the church. You say, "Pastor, how can we betray the church?" Well, I'm glad you asked. You're looking very enthused. Lord, is it I? Is it I who have caused the church to not to move forward? Is it I who are causing the church to stumble? Is it I who have failed to attend worship and engage in wholesome fellowship? Lord, is it I who have betrayed your trust or have failed to love as you have commanded? I can assure you, all of us in this room is guilty. Lord, is it I? It's personal. You can't point no finger at I. Yeah. You can't say us. It's I. Lord, is it I? Jesus answered and gave them clarity. Look at 26 of John chapter 13. And Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." Let me tell you something. Jesus will identify you. I'm learning this from this text. He will, press you forward and pull you before others to see at his disposal. He knows how strong we are. least little thing of truth can break us. This is why we don't want certain people to know certain things. Because if they knew the real you, would they associate with you? Pastor says, I'm not that bad. No, it's not that you that bad. What would you do with Jesus? Sometimes we have a tendency to re-assassinate him. We kill Jesus afresh when we don't keep his commandments. I want you to understand, is it I? Jesus will tell you whether it's you or not. The second thing I see here, and he revealed it, and we already spoke on it, is the prophecy of his fulfillment. But there's a third thing I see in the text, is the demise among disciples. They came so perplexed, but they start questioning each other. And Jesus identified his accuser, his betrayer, and it went over their heads as they were preoccupied by today's of their things of their day. They missed when Jesus said, it's the one who dips with me. But you got to realize all of them was dipping. But the cue is, when I dip, watch the one dip with me and I give him the bread. It is he who will go and betray me. And when Jesus did that, Judas leaned over and said, Lord, is it I? He said, you have said it. You have cut your own thread. And immediately, once Jesus had fulfilled that, Satan entered into Judas. I want you to know, he'd been talking to Judas all the time. And Judas was conniving and scheming with the high priest and his henchmen to find a convenient time, the opportunity to betray Jesus. And you Bible student, you know the story. Judas, so cowardly, so methodically, so smooth, that he waited till Jesus got in his comfortable position in the Garden of Gethsemane, beginning to pray. And after prayer, he comes to Jesus in his disciple way, phony persona. And he greet him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, all of that. And he gives him a kiss. Be careful with those who kiss you. Be careful with the phony handshake, the slap on the back. It just may have a knife in the other hand waiting for you to turn your back. But I know we don't have nobody like that here. You have to be careful. Everybody who sits in the pews don't know Jesus. They have might have heard of him, but they don't know him. Many have heard of him. Satan goes and quotes scripture and trembles. He goes before God on a daily basis, making accusation about me and about you. He tells God from afar, he said, look at him. They ain't doing what you say. Look at them talking about each other. Backstabbing, gossiping. That is one way of saying, Lord, is it I? Do I keep things stirred up so that the church will be unbalanced? Am I the one who holds back my giving? And so the church struggles. Matter of fact, I don't even like what they're doing. Is it I? I want to leave him with you today. Jesus knows where you are. He knows your voice from everyone else. Last but not least, we see in this text condemnation upon Judas, who will betray him. It's not if he betrays him, he will betray him. It's not maybe he would do it, it is when he does it. It's gonna come to pass whatever Jesus said, it will. You can rest assured that it's a guarantee thing. When Jesus said, I will come back unto you. And I will come back with power. I want you to understand that Jesus don't hold grudges. Judas had an opportunity to repent. But he got disturbed and left out of the room. He was so quick because he had money on the deal. He had betted the fact that if I turn him over, what would you give me? And they said 30 pieces of silver. Well, Judas said, that sounds like a pretty good deal because I don't have too much now. 30 pieces of silver sound mighty good now. He said, I will do it at the convenience time. In other words, follow me and take my lead. The one that I embrace and kiss, it is he who you want. You see, brothers and sisters, they wanted to kill Jesus for a long time. But God put a hedge of protection around his son. But you got to understand something as well. Jesus is God. Many times they tried to kill him, stone him, put their hands on him, and he would just dash out of scene. It seemed like it was magical. But you also have to understand he is God. He said, my hour has come when I should be handled with sinful hand. Can you imagine all holiness being handled with all evilness? Yeah, even the foul and despicable hands on holy. This is why he told Moses, you can't look at me because you're in sinful flesh. And my Shekinah glory will burn you up if you were to look upon me. But I will do something for you to satisfy your urge and desire. I'll put you in the cliff of the rock and put my hands over your face. And as I pass by you, I will lift my hand and you see the backside of my glory. Isn't God good? Ask him to show you his glory sometime. And when you wake up one bright and early morning, all you got to do is pull back your shed and you'll see the sun shining through the bright and cloudy day, and you see the rays of God touch your body, the warmness upon your skin. That is the glory of God. Do you realize his creation is a glory? When you look up at the stars at night and see the twinkling of the star, they're not actually twinkling. It's just the way he have created their firmaments. And the way he have created heaven bodily, it look like they twinkling. Yes, he is the throne of glory. He is the Son of God. The bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon. I'm talking about him that rose on the third day. Died on a Friday. Yes, he did. But he died so. He saved me. He saved you. Lord, is it I? He died. Oh, Lord, did he die? He died and to identify me. He died until he called you. He died. Do anybody know that he died? Oh, he died. Yes, he did. Died so that a sinner man at the cross. Yeah, he was a soldier, one of the center soldier, got happy out there and looked at him and said, this must be, this have to be the Son of the living God. Don't tell me what Jesus can do. If I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, I would draw, I say I would draw all men, all women unto me. I am that I am. He died. Oh, yes, he did. But oh, that's not the end of the story, y'all. He predicted his own death. He said, I got power to lay it down, and I got power to take it up early. Early. Yeah, while you and I were still running in sin, wheeling and rocking, gambling, lying, cheating and stealing, killing and lying, he died and got up. Got up. I say he got up just like he said he would. I got power to lay it down. I got power to take it up. I got dunamis to lay it down. I got the authority to lay it down. I got the authority to take it up. Yes! And when I rise, I withdraw. All men and all women unto me. Lord, is it I? Is it I that is cheating on you? Is it I that have let you down? Lord, is it I have not spoken your word to others? Is it I that I have failed to walk by faith? Is it I that has failed to represent you with honor and with love? God bless you real good, Tapanaka. And may it all that God has be yours.